This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning, you're right. It's Monday. Monday. Thank you for joining me. It has just ticked 8 in the AM, British Summer Time, on the 11th. Monday the 11th of May, in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, little Harry Harrow, this morning. Good sir.
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
The disembodied voice of the godlike Harry there. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for joining me. You know who you are. You don't need to be told. Are you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking around for the day, nay, the week ahead? I hope you are. Should you stop fannying about, Bo? Why are you faffing about? Just get into it. Yeah, I know, right? So it's a Starmer day. It's a wall-to-wall Starmer day. Actual small piece of housekeeping. A few moments ago, I trapped my finger in the door. It's actually bleeding a bit. Huh. Sorry about that. I fiddle with it a bit. It's distracting. Doesn't hurt all that much, but it is bleeding slightly. So if you trap, I'm human. If you trap my finger in a door, do I not bleed? The show must go on, dear boy. Sorry about that. I mean, what could I... Again, I'm human. One day I'm going to have like a sneezing fit. Sometimes, especially in hay fever season, especially in the mornings. Sometimes I'll sneeze like 20 times in a row. That will happen on camera one day. I'll get hiccups. One morning I'll get hiccups, like the whole show. So, okay, this morning I've cut my finger. There you go. Hashtag pray for Bo. That really is enough fanning about now. Let's have a look. What have we got? My mouse finger as well. All right. It's not that bad. There's such a wuss about it. All right. It's a wall-to-wall Starmer day. So after the elections, which we'll get into, there are the results. Boom. But before we get into that, just the overview, the grand overview. Labour leadership rival circle and golden boys of BAFTA red carpet. Yeah, it was the BAFTAs. It was the BAFTAs yesterday. Very, very minimal coverage on the Bo Show about that sort of nonsense. Okay, but yeah, just look at the websites. Look, Starmer. Even more Starmer. So, okay, you get it. Let's have a look at the front pages. The Fleet Street, the print media. What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? It's that evil cabal of Fleet Street editors trying to tell you is important. Like The Guardian, ugh. Cut finger and Guardian, first thing. There's better ways to start your Monday morning. No, there's no better way to start your Monday morning than with the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo. Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC. What are you going to do? Watch Mike Graham and his stale old reformtard takes. Get real. Jeremy Kyle, is he still going? Is he even still going? Okay. The Guardian, ugh. Revolting. Revolting commie slop. Labour leadership rival circle as Starmer tries to cling to power. So part of the big news today is that he's going to do a speech. Starmer, that is. Going to do a speech. And it's sort of his, they say he's like part of his last chance. There was reports last night, I think from GB News and one or two other places, saying that in that speech he's going to resign or set out a timetable for his resignation. But now, at least this morning, from what I've seen, an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of reading this morning, is saying that that's not what is going to be in the speech. He's going to say, I'll never quit, sort of thing. So we'll see. It may or may not be his quitting speech this morning. But I think it looks like, might be proven wrong in a few hours' time, but it looks like he'll just cling on. He'll say, no, I'm doubling down. I mean, it's the King's speech on Wednesday, i.e. the opening for Parliament, a new Parliament. A new round of governing. They set out that what they mean to do over the next year. And that's written by the government. It's not what King Charles wants. He just reads out a speech that's been written for him by Number 10. And there's nothing in that. And it always, as a matter of course, is essentially leaked beforehand. It's not like a state secret sort of a thing or anything like that. And there's nothing in there. Certainly there's nothing in there about, not that they would anyway, but there's nothing in there about we intend to hold a leadership election or we feel like we might have to go to the public again for a general election or anything like that. So I suspect Starmer will just cling on to power, just do that thing of, I've got a mandate from the people. You know, there's no reason for me to go. I must do better. The buck stops with me. Buck stops with me. And we'll just keep ploughing forward regardless of anything. Regardless of being the most unpopular Prime Minister of all time. Okay. So yeah, I've said before, I think Starmer's like that old school red, where he would never give up on power. There's no sense of shame. You know, probably as a younger man, read Lenin. And the idea of clinging to power is everything. Never ever give up power. Never walk away on the game of politics before it throws you under a bus. Wouldn't dream of it. I think that, I was saying that about Starmer before he was even Prime Minister. I think that's the type of person he is. I think he would have to be removed. Okay, it says there. Scores of MPs, including Burnham backers, call on PM to set date to quit. Like it's Tony Blair and Gordon Brown in 2007. 2006, 2007, whatever it was. It's a whole different thing. All right. Little bit about the BAFTAs, super quick. So that, do you remember that show Adolescence, that really subversive show? It was broadly based on when a black boy stabbed a white girl. It was broadly based on that. They made a TV drama, but they race changed the black boy to be a white little white kid. Made it all about general male toxicity. Remember that? And all the leftards and traitors and commies loved it. And everyone normal thought it was sickening. Well, it's done really well at the BAFTAs. Cleared up. He's had a growth spurt, hasn't he? That's the little lad in it. Bit of a growth spurt. I know Graham, is it? What's his name? Stephen Graham. I know he's a tiny little scouser commie. Tiny little freak of a man. But he's certainly had a growth spurt, hasn't he, that lad? All right. Gives you a measure of the BAFTAs, doesn't it? Just whatever's disgusting and woke and subversive, you know, like nearly all love is, they go for that. They lap that up. Of course they do. All right, that's enough of that. Iran Peace Laureate on her prison ordeal. Okay. Let's get through to the IPA because the blurb on that really gives us everything we need to know about the Starmer issue. The Mail, quickly do the Mail. Complete and utter globalist slop. Trying to wear the skin suit of something that isn't that, but it is. Never be fooled by the Mail. Even to this day, leftist and Labour types cling to the idea that the Mail is right-leaning. That the Mail is something other than globalist slop. But it is. It's completely on their side, as all the print media is, basically. Basically. With the exception, sometimes, of the Telegraph. Sometimes. 50-50, though, even in the Telegraph. Okay. Labour leadership bloodbath. It's a bloodbath. Streeting and Rayner ready for Starmer's fall. Angela the Fridge Rainer, Big Bird, is still embroiled in a revenue and customs ordeal where it said she didn't pay 40 grand stamp duty on her 800 grand flat in Brighton or Hove. That's still all going on. Pretty sure that disbars her from a leadership campaign until that's resolved. Assuming it's resolved in her favour and they don't find that she like broke the law. We don't know. So, it's not in Burnham or Rayner's interest at this moment to have a leadership election race because they can't be in it. Does that just leave the doors open for the Right Honourable Mr. Wesley Streeting? He's going to lose his seat in the next general election, almost regardless, would have thought. Have the stars aligned for Wesley Streeting? Okay. PM on the brink as rebellion could seal his fate today. I doubt it. I doubt it. There was this other backbencher, Catherine West. Looks a bit like Rose West. She said she was on the news, the Sunday morning political news cycle stuff. She was openly saying, I'm prepared to sort of, you know, trigger a leadership contest. You know, Rayner and Burnham won't or want that. It's like, not yet. We're not ready. We want to win that and we can't if you do it right now. Okay, Rayner blasts PM record and signals a Burnham alliance. He's not an MP at all. Still. All this may just save Starmer because the biggest beasts are just haven't got all their ducks in a row. Streeting's bid is poised to rival parties hard left. People say that Rayner and Burnham, should they somehow become the leadership of the party between them, the dream ticket, would draw the party to the left. Well, they would. They would. They're absolutely further to the left than Starmer. And Streeting, not so much. So, there you go. They're your choices. If you are in the Parliamentary Labour Party, or indeed just a member, or one of the unions that gets to vote on that sort of thing. Do you think the country wants to go further to the left than Starmer? No, they've been trounced in local elections because of that. Or spineless Wedge Streeting, who's going to lose his seat next time anyway. They're your choices, basically. Okay, good. The Mirror. A bit more about the BAFTAs, don't care. Election fallout. Change before it's too late, says Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird. Rayner in stinging swipe at PM's record. She made an intervention. She released a 1,000-word statement the other day, Sunday, I think. Just saying it's, she didn't explicitly say Starmer should step down, but without explicitly saying it, that was sort of what's in it. And that it was a mistake, like what was the various things in it off the top of my head? It was a mistake to not select Burnham for that Gunton and Denton by-election. He may still have lost it though, but anyway. So that's a mistake. We need our best talent in Parliament. I thought they were saying they needed their best talent to be mayors when he ran for mayor first. Years ago. Anyway, she's now saying, we need our best talent in Parliament, meaning Burnham. Loads of leftist things, you know, like the rich people are the problem. Trickle-down economics is the problem. We need, like, privatisation, private ownership of things is the problem. Just all leftoid crap. She's an idiot. She's a full-blown idiot. Doesn't know what she's talking about. Okay, the Tory graph. Streeting, I'm ready to be PM. Are you? Doubt it. Seemed like a silly little boy LARPing as an MP. Never heard anything of real substance or vision from Wes Streeting. Never. Have you? Does he feel like a leader of men? No. Seems like a bit of a pansy. Polanski falsely claimed he worked at the Ministry of Defence. Sure, why not? He's falsely claimed loads of stuff, hasn't he? Yep. Loads and loads of things. Turns out he wasn't actually a hypnotist. Turns out he didn't actually ever work for the Red Cross. Turns out he wasn't living exactly where he said he was for council tax purposes. Loads of things. It's just a chance, isn't it? Just say anything that he thinks might be in his interest in any given moment. Don't worry about further down the line if it all adds up. Apparently he'd claimed that he'd worked for the Ministry of Justice. Like, a while ago, when he was, like, running to be the deputy leader of the Green Party, he'd claimed that. It's just not true. I don't know how people do this, particularly if you're in public office, but even if you're not. Just claiming outright things that are just completely untrue, not just, like, spinning the truth a bit, not just, like, exaggerating something a bit, or omitting something strategically, or just a full-blown lie. Just completely false, from top to bottom. And then you want to be in the public eye, where people are going to go through what you've said with a fine-tooth comb. Mad. But then he is mad, isn't he? A disgusting little subversive degenerate freak of a man, isn't he? All right, what else have we got? A bit of Iran, talk about that later. It's not really on the front pages of the British print media, but it is all in the news, Mr. Trump's war and Iran and all that sort of thing. There's been some movement, at least diplomatically on that. We'll talk about that in a bit. The Times. PM fights to save his skin after Rayner ultimatum. Okay. Ex-minister Rayner demands shift to the left as rival circle. Lucy Punch there. There you go, at the BAFTAs. Lucy Punch. Okay, the eye paper. Today or never to save your job, Labour MPs tell Starmer. The blurb says... about the best you're going to get from Fleet Street. Keir Starmer needs to deliver the speech of his life this morning to see off an attempt to kick him out of number 10 less than 2 years after winning a landslide. The PM is due to promise he will put the UK, quote, at the heart of Europe, quote, in a bid to appease furious Labour MPs by signalling a move towards a softer Brexit. So, a classic example of putting party before country. Starmer's calculation is if the party want Burnham and Rayner, i.e. the left of the party, want them, he'll try and steal their support by going further left himself. Even though it's not what the country want, the country at large wants. I mean, I can point to the Brexit referendum. I can point to the trouncing he got at the local election a few days ago. Actually, we take this moment. Well, let me finish reading the blurb, then we'll look at the election results, because they weren't all in on Friday morning last time I spoke to you, were they? Let's finish up the blurb here. It says, the race to replace PM has been thrown into disarray after little-known backbencher Catherine West launched a leadership bid, plunging the government into crisis. She didn't. That's not exactly what's happened. She said she was going to launch a leadership race. Not a bid herself. There's no question that she was wanting to be the leader. But you need something like 20% of the parliamentary party to vote for that. They've got something like just over 400 MPs. Was it 403, 406, something like that. 20% of those. The magic number is 81. They need 81 Labour MPs. One MP stands up and says, there's a vote of no confidence. You need 81 others to agree to that. She was saying she would start that process. But then, perhaps, it might even be after this went to print. She said, oh, actually, no, I'm going to wait to see what his speech on Monday says first. It's slightly incorrect reporting there to say that she has launched it. She hasn't. Okay, but maybe she will today. Depends if she's convinced by what Sir Keir Starling says in his little speech. There's nothing he can say to undo the last 2 years, is there? Or indeed his entire life in politics. West Streeting and Angela Rayner are set to play a key role in any political leadership race. Well, she can't at this stage, if it was to happen in the next, starts happening in the next few days or weeks. Unless HMRC miraculously just finish their investigation and she's completely exonerated, like in the next few days. Yeah, so Rayner and Streeting set to be potential leadership race people, with Andy Burnham desperate to return as an MP so that he can run. Yeah, I bet he is, yeah. One senior minister tells the iPaper, Starmer no longer enjoys the support of all the members of his cabinet, but cautions, quote, be careful what you wish for, quote. It's one of the last ditch attempts, last ditch angles from the Starmer people, is the classic, don't change horse midstream. Don't change pilot mid-flight. Like, you might not like Starmer, you might not be happy, but it would be worse if David Lammy became Prime Minister, or Angela Fridge Rayner, Big Bird. It's a little bit of a pathetic last-ditch argument, isn't it? I'm really terrible, sure, but there's even more terrible options out there. A great argument, is it? You'd hope it would be a positive, optimistic, here's why I'm the best, here's why you should stay with me, because of positive things. No, just, it would be worse. It could be even worse. All right, so let's have a look at the election results, because on Friday morning, last time I spoke to you, only about a fifth or a quarter of them were in. So they're all in now, and boom, there they are. There it is. So it's largely, almost exactly the trend that we already saw on Friday morning, but not quite. So let's start down this end. When we were looking at it Friday morning, the independents were down a little bit. Well, they actually ended up a little bit. Actually, the thing that this betrays is that a lot of them are Muslim ones. Usually independents in the good old days, an independent was just like, in local elections, was just like a local person that everyone knew and liked and trusted more than their actual normie party councillors. And a handful of them would get in. Well, although that is still the case, a lot of those would just be Muslims in a really, really heavily Muslim area. It won't be long before there's, like, you know, some sort of Muslim Party of Britain, Muslim Alliance of Britain or whatever. I wonder if that party will end up having to split down Sunni-Shia lines. All right, so independents up a little bit. Not much, though. I mean, in the scheme of things, that's not much. But they are up. Greens, up a fair bit. Right? No doubt about that. There's no point trying to pretend that's nothing. It's not nothing. But it's not gigantic, though, is it? Also, let's be fair, let's be honest. It's not gigantic. Some were saying, because of the Gaunton and Denton by-election result, and because Zach Polansky, real name David Paulden, was doing okay in the polls until recently, until a week or two ago, that the Greens might, you know, storm to victory in this local election and then in the next general election. They're like the new great hope. That they'll usher in a society of hope and progressiveness, and that millions and millions of people up and down the country want that, really, really want that. No, not so much. No. So if you see there, Labour, a stonking loss. Perhaps not quite as big as some said. Some said it might be 1,700, 1,800, 2,000. Still, a bit of that has gone to the left, gone to the Greens. But not a tidal wave to the left, is it? Tories down more, lovely, lovely jubbly. Love to see it. Nobody really likes Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, do they? I see some sort of Tory boy cope on like Twitter and stuff, saying it's not that bad. It's actually, in the scheme of things, it's like some sort of win. Could have been a million times worse. I mean, it's true, it could have been worse. That is true. But if you look at it from this certain angle, if you huff enough copium, it's actually a win. In some sense. No, of course not. Of course not. Nobody wants Olukemi Badenoch, who not many years ago was just a staunch open border person, gloating in Parliament, on camera in Parliament, gloating about getting loads of student visas for foreign people. That's who she really is. I mean, now she calculates it's best for her and her party to pretend to be really based. No one buys it. No one really buys it. So the Tory Party down. Would love to see the Conservative Party destroyed and annihilated utterly, lose all its funding and just not be a thing at all. I would love my country to just not have the Conservative Party. It doesn't exist. Zero seats, zero funding. They had their chance and they flooded this country with foreign rapists and murderers. That's what they did. Ruined the economy. Gloated about it. They don't deserve to exist anymore. Lib Dems, kind of flat, up a bit. I'm not pretending they're not up a bit, but in the scheme of things, that's sort of flat. Yeah, it's kind of positive. It's kind of positive. If they were down 155, that would be a different story. So they have picked up a bit. A little bit of the Labour support drained away to the Greens and Lib Dems. But that's not a great deal in the scheme of things, is it? For the Lib Dems, as far as they're concerned. So the biggest story is, mostly, I mean, look at those numbers. Look, they're similar. Basically, a giant swathe of voters moving away from Labour straight into the Reform column. And Reform doing really well. As I say, we chuck loads of shade at Nigel and Reform here. We restore people. But I can't deny it. I wouldn't begrudge them. I'm not so mean-spirited that I'm going to begrudge them anything here. Well done. I mean, they are the most important player now, aren't they? Or in terms of local governance. So well done. I mean, well done. You know, we'll see how they run their councils. That doesn't mean that Reform are actually control loads and loads of councils, although they will control quite a lot. We'll see how they manage that. Whether they're able to, because of course they don't control government, they don't control the Home Office or the Treasury, so they don't hold the purse strings, and they can't ultimately dictate what, in the grandest sense, what councils can or can't do and things. So they've only got, maybe an analogy is they've got one hand on the rein of power in terms of local governance. We'll see how they do what they do. Right, how based they actually behave. We'll see. And of course, Rupert Lowe, Great Yarmouth first. When you go on Twitter and say, Restore have done XYZ. And some people go, it's not Restore, it's Great Yarmouth first. Restore didn't win anything. Yeah. Okay, all right, we know. All right, well pointed out, Fedora tipper. Do you buy your Fedoras wholesale, or do you just buy them one at a time? All right, it's not technically Restore, it's Great Yarmouth first. Everyone knows what we're talking about. Anyway, they did get a clean sweep of all nine. The Gang of Nine. Rupert's Rough Riders. So, as I say before, keep it in perspective. It's only a small corner of East Anglia, small bit of Norfolk. Nonetheless, as a trend, for a party that's so new, it's actually quite a remarkable political achievement, considering their margins of success were massive. 100%, 200%, beating out the next person, nearly always Reform, by loads. It's not close. In all nine, not even close. I mean, it is Rupert's backyard, and he's sort of a beloved local MP, constituency MP, largely, in Great Yarmouth, I think that's fair to say. So, there you go. Could that play out on a grander scale? We'll see next year, when there's more local elections. I'm sure Restore will be fielding loads more people at that point. And ultimately, the big day in 2029, if Starmer doesn't call a general election before then. We shall see. We shall see if the message, Restore's message, truly resonates. Okay, so they're the results. Let's get back to the front pages. The Financial Times. That thing, I mentioned it once or twice in passing, haven't I? There was a boat, a cruise ship, where some sort of virus broke out. Hantavirus, they call it. It's to do with mouse or rat urine and or feces. makes human sickness. Some people died, actually died of it. Anyway, that's in the news a bit, that some people have been evacuated from that death ship or whatever, but okay, move on from that. Starmer faces fight for his survival as threat of leadership challenge mounts. PM to deliver, quote, last chance, quote, speech. Rayner calls for switch to the left, broad descent in Labour ranks. Okay. PIMCO warns Iran could trigger rate rises as US voters sour on economy. PIMCO's a large like investment firm. PIMCO. Not one of the biggest in the world, but they've got a fair few trillion in assets under management. They're not a tiny player. I believe over the weekend some employment news came out of the United States which wasn't too bad, or it wasn't quite as bad as expected. Well, let's have a look at the price of oil. We do that on this show, don't we? On the Low Caesars Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. So some of the headlines or some of the things are saying oil has spiked, the price of oil has spiked again. Eh, not really. A little bit. It's hovering about the same, isn't it? West Texas, bang on $100 a barrel right now. At this moment, these are real time prices. Brent, $105 a barrel. So, there you go. Higher than it was in the beginning of February. But not astronomically higher. As I keep saying. All right, we'll move on from that. The Express, it's a good paper. The Express. Pretty much the same as the Mail, really. Well, sometimes they do say based things, print kind of based articles, opinion pieces. But still, ultimately, in the final reckoning, globalist slop. The Express. Beleaguered Starmer to ditch EU red lines as Rayner stokes Labour civil war. Okay, we get it, right? It's multiple Starmer. How dare he? PM plots to rip up Brexit. How dare he? There's a picture of Alan Carr winning some sort of BAFTA. Again, a complete degenerate freak weirdo that the TV have decided is like important and needs to be on TV all the time. Again, it's the measure, isn't it, of TV and the entertainment business and the BAFTAs. Out of anyone in the world they could sort of promote for overexposure, they pick a freak like Alan Carr. Ugh. Hardly watch TV ever nowadays. I've got my Columbo box set. I'm happy with that. I'll go back and just rewatch Columbo. It's fine. I'm not joking either. All right, the Metro. The Steenkamp one. Oh, the Metro. Oh. Revolting. Pressure piles on PM after election disaster. Fight or go, challenger tells Starmer. Look at this. Catherine West, lefty Labour backbencher. What is that? Gross. We'll move on. The Sun go with something a bit different. Strictly Come Dancing. If anyone isn't British, think once or even twice, because they put it on the papers a fair bit. I've mentioned to you, there's a show, Strictly Come Dancing, where celebrities and a professional dancer dance, and then some judges judge how well they danced. And that gets massive, massive ratings. Completely vapid, isn't it? Completely vacuous. It couldn't be more sort of bread and circuses, could it? While the country burns. While we're getting demographically replaced. Industrial scale sexual assault against our native women. Atrocity after atrocity. A socialist government tanking our economy in real time. You just watch these pretty people dance. Okay. Well, Tess Daly. That woman, who's broken up with Vernon Kay, incidentally, used to be the host. Or these two women used to be the host, and now they're not, and they've replaced her with Emma Willis, this woman. There you go, that's the front page of The Sun. Willis designers, host of dance show, mum of three, 50. So it's out of order, but look, they wrote that. Emma Willis, mum of three, 50. All right. She's all right for 50, isn't she? Mum of three will be new test daily. Like, that's the most salient thing about her. The very, very first thing you use to describe her in any way is that she's a mum of three. All right. Strictly, it's Emma. Okay, don't care. The star, let's move on. The star. Oh, the star goes for something completely different. Utter slop. Maybe not entirely slop. Maybe it might cause the death of loads and loads of people at some point later in the year. I doubt it, but they say the big stadium in Mexico City, because there's the World Cup this summer, isn't it? It's being jointly hosted by America and Mexico. And is it also Canada? Definitely the United States and Mexico. Hosting the World Cup, Football World Cup, or soccer, if you're an American. Their massive stadium is a massive stadium. It's sort of subsiding or sinking in some way. World Cup stadium shock. They sink it all over. Again, I think I must have mentioned at least once before, because they love this pun or wordplay. In 1966, in the World Cup final, right at the end when England beat West Germany 4-2, we were winning 3-2. It was right at the end of the game, seconds left to go before the final whistle. Some fans started running on the pitch. It was literally seconds to go. And then West Ham player scores another goal, making it 4-2. The commentator goes, they think it's all over, the fans. They think it's all over. It is now. Okay. They think it's all over. And the star goes with, they sink it's all over. Do you get it? Do you get the clever, clever wordplay? It's probably absolutely nothing, isn't it? But well, if that stadium did collapse with tens of thousands of people in it, or a portion of it, that would be an absolute terrible disaster. They're saying there's big, quote, big chunks of concrete dropping off. Bit of a worry, isn't it? Bit of a worry. Okay, those are the papers. Those are the headlines of the front pages of the papers. Should we have a look at our poll? Harry, you'll have to bring that up for me on my screen. Make it so. Engage. Oh, you've done it. There you go. We asked you today, do you think Trump should start bombing Iran again? We haven't talked about much about Iran. We'll do that now then. But we asked you, do you think he should? Like, it's actually the... At this point, let's not talk about whether he should have started the war at all. But now we're here. Now we're at this point in history. Is it actually the right thing at this point now to start bombing them again? Very, very split. Almost perfectly down the middle. Do you think Trump should start bombing Iran? Yes, 49%. No, 51%. With over 1,100 votes cast. So perfect, almost perfectly split down the middle, isn't it? So should we talk a bit about that? Why we asked that question specifically? What's going on with Trump and Iran? We've got an article here. Here we go. Look. Trump calls Iran response to US proposal to end war totally unacceptable. So what it is, there's been this ceasefire, hasn't there? Except it's not even a ceasefire. They've exchanged fire a bit between each other, but at least on the American side, Hegseth and Rubio and Trump, insisting there is still a ceasefire in place, despite actual kinetic weapons being fired between them. They're insisting there is a ceasefire so that some diplomacy can be done. Trump wants an off-ramp, wants an end to the war. He said even just over the weekend, or not only a few days ago anyway, this war will be over quickly. He doesn't want to be, he really doesn't, does he? I believe that. He doesn't want to be a forever war guy. And so there's been back and forth. And with the Pakistanis being mediators, the Americans had, this is just an overview, there's a lot more to it, all of it, but just to give you an overview. The Americans had a one-page memorandum, sort of, I think, a 14-point memorandum, all the points they need Iran to agree to. Iran spent a few days or over the weekend mulling that, apparently, and finally gave a response, which I'm not sure is fully published, but the Americans have seen it, Trump and the State Department and everything have seen it. And Trump said, no, it's totally unacceptable. Because apparently what it said, or what it did say, the Iranian response to America's 14-point memorandum, was that, no, we still insist on having, we, Iran, still insist on having full sovereignty, full control over the Straits of Hormuz. You need to stop your blockade. We need to be able to sell our oil, like straight away, immediately. Your embargoes on us need to be halted for at least 30 days. And we don't give up our right to keep enriching uranium. We're not just going to give up the stockpiles we've got, even if they are buried under a mountain or whatever. So all the main points that the United States and, more importantly, perhaps Israel, are insisting on, Iran's still just not budging over them. So Trump says it's totally unacceptable. Okay, so we're at a bit of an impasse then, aren't we? We're at a bit of an impasse. The Americans and the Israelis have got their line in the sand, the things they're insisting upon, and Iran just won't budge. So what are you going to do, Mr. Trump, Mr. Rubio, Mr. Hegseth? What are you going to do? Again, let's not worry about whether the war was a prudent thing to do in the first place. I mean, we can. Historians will. You can, of course. But I'm just talking about, we're here now. Okay, just what now? Well, Iran have called your bluff, haven't they, basically? They have called your bluff. You keep saying you're going to destroy all their power plants and bridges if they don't do it. As he said, he'll wipe them off the face of the earth, he'll wipe them off the map, send them back to the Stone Age. Various iterations of that sentiment. And they've just called your bluff, haven't they? They've just said, go on then. We're not giving up the key things. We're not going to. What now? So, I mean, what now? I don't know. The poll does reflect my feeling. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, from a purely, if there was no real human life at stake, there was nothing really at stake, you were just playing a strategy game, right? It's just a game. You would start bombing them again, wouldn't you? Because that's sort of, like, from a completely emotionless point of view, that would be the only real strategy at this point, wouldn't it? The avenues of diplomacy seem to have been exhausted. Seem to have been. You've threatened loads to keep bombing them if they don't make a deal, and they haven't made a deal. So, I mean, watching things like Fox News, for example, a lot of them have been saying all over the weekend, all right, well, you know, they're hawkish, aren't they? They're like, all right, well, yeah, we need to start bombing them again now. We need to try and change, we need a bigger, newer effort to bomb the hell out of them, hopefully get a regime change, hopefully bomb them so much that the people of Iran can rise up and all that stuff again. I don't know, but would that work? Can that work? Who knows? It's very interesting. It's over 1,200 votes now on our poll. Still 49-51. Yeah. It's a bit of a sticky wicket, isn't it? As far as the Americans and Israelis are concerned. Their overall plan, their overall strategy. Are they going to? We'll see. Will the taco meme, Trump always chickens out, will that play out? Will that be vindicated? Or will the madman of New York unleash hell? At Trump's signal, unleash hell. No, I feel like he doesn't want to do that, does he? I feel like his natural inclination is to not do that. But I feel like he has painted himself into a corner a bit on that. He's got fewer and fewer and fewer options. People say, you know, like he's not dealing with sort of a particularly rational actor in Iran. Just, you know, like a more normal government would have realised they're beat militarily and conceded a bunch of things to the United States by this point, wouldn't they? But they're just not. and just refusing to. So, all right. All right, you get it. That's a bit about Iran. That's the latest on Iran. Yeah, wall-to-wall, the wall-to-wall Starmer stuff. A slightly interesting story here. Slightly interesting story. This guy, what's his name? Gibbons. Glenn Gibbons. A Restore councillor who won a council seat on Thursday. Said, what did he say? He said, Nigerians should be melted down to fill potholes. That's spicy. I've never said anything that spicy on Twitter or in real life or in an article or anything. Anyway, he said that. And the story here is a bit odd because it's saying like Ticey Dicey, Dick Tice, moral political coward, Richard Tice, like refused to condemn him. But not really though, because the party, Reform, have suspended him or investigated him. So, I mean, what do you want? ITV News. They're trying to dunk on Reform here, but they have suspended him. So what do you want? All right. I mean, I don't want to speak for what was in Mr. Gibbons' mind. I suspect that's like just a really dark humour joke. I doubt he genuinely really wants to physically melt down Nigerians in order to fill potholes. It's just really, really spicy humour, isn't it? I would have thought. Maybe not. Maybe he really wants to do that for reals. He doesn't, does he? Come on. Come on. But that's where we are now. You can't make really dark jokes. Can't do that. And want to be in office. Can't do it. It's not allowed. Well, all the mainstream parties anyway. We'll see if Restore will allow such things. Hopefully. Maybe. Who knows? All right. Relatively small story there. Oh, it's already nearly 10:02. Gone past. All right. Should we have a look at On This Day in History? You like that section. I like doing that section. On This Day in History, the 11th of May, down through the centuries. What happened of note? Let's have a look. Okay. On this day in 330 AD... newly built city of Constantinople, or in Latin, Byzantium, dedicated to Emperor Constantine the Great, Constantine I, becomes the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire. I mean, there already was a settlement there. There's been a settlement there since time immemorial. It's a really, really obvious place to build a settlement. Even in the days of Xenophon and stuff, there's a thing. Anyway, Constantinople. Great bit in Edward Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Great few chapters all about that. How Constantine decided that Rome itself, in sort of the middle of Italy, isn't best placed strategically to govern a giant empire that stretched from Scotland to the Euphrates. Much better spot for it is Constantinople. Well, it's modern day Istanbul. Byzantium, Constantinople, Istanbul, it's all the same place. Same place. And he moved loads of the elite, sort of induced, perhaps coerced, loads of the Roman elite to move from Rome to Constantinople. Bring loads of the jewels, bring loads of the great statues with them. A massive shift in the Roman world towards the east during the reign of Constantine the Great, or the latter part of the reign of Constantine the Great. Some great chapters in Gibbon, if you're interested in that. Okay. In the year 1189, on this day, the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick I Barbarossa and 100,000 crusaders depart Regensburg for the Third Crusade. The Third Crusade is that one with Richard the Lionheart, the Coeur de Lion, versus Saladin. Barbarossa never got there, though. On the way, he fell off his horse and drowned in a river. He's wearing heavy armour. Well, the accounts differ on exactly what happened, but one way or another, he fell in a river and either got swept away or just drowned. A little bit suspicious. No one there to save him. Really important. One of the most important players in Europe. There. Holy Roman Emperor just accidentally quote unquote, accidentally drowned. All right. On this day in 1751, Pennsylvania Hospital is founded in Philadelphia by Dr. Thomas Bond and Benjamin Franklin. Don't know a great amount about that particular hospital, but I have got all sorts of content about the founding fathers and Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, fascinating dude. I'm a big fan of Benjamin Franklin. Not everything he ever seen, ever said and did, but a very, very, very interesting person, Benjamin Franklin. Fascinating. If you're interested in the founding fathers and the War of Independence and the United States of the late 18th century, start with Benjamin Franklin. If you're interested in the Elizabethan age, start with the person of Elizabeth I, learn all about her, and then you can build out around her. I think for the American War of Independence, a good place to start is Benjamin Franklin. Learn all about him and his life, and then start building around that. That's my advice. Okay, on this day in 1812, the British Prime Minister, Spencer Perceval, is assassinated by John Bellingham in the lobby of the House of Commons, London. It says, ironically, descendants of both later stand for the same seat in Parliament at the same time, but neither wins. That's not important. Okay, this is the only Prime Minister ever to be assassinated whilst in office. Spencer Perceval. 1812, you might think, oh, is this to do with Napoleon in some way? The 20 years, almost World War, to do with Napoleon, or perhaps to do with the United States and the War of 1812, or the looming War of 1812. No. No. John Bellingham was just some sort of psycho dude. It had nothing to do with global events at all. 1812, a massively pivotal year. Oh, it's the year Napoleon attempts to invade Russia, isn't it? Massively, massively pivotal year for world history, 1812. John Bellingham, nothing to do with any of it. He was just some dude who had to... He owed the Russians loads of money and got himself into debt. And back in those days, you go to prison for debt. They had whole debtors' jails. If you got in too much debt, you were put in prison. Not a bad way of doing it. Actually, maybe not. Those prisons were pretty bad. Anyway, he went to prison for something like 5 years because he got in so much debt. And he thought that the British government should bail him out for that, or help him out in some way, or at least sort of clear his name in some way, and they didn't. And he was so hurt by that that he decided he was just going to murder the Prime Minister, and did. There you go. All right, on this day, 1934, the Great Dust Bowl. They've mentioned the Dust Bowl more than once, haven't they, on this website? Whoever does these, it's obviously... fascinated by the Dust Bowl. The Great Dust Bowl storm sweeps across the American and Canadian prairies, travelling as far as the East Coast. We've talked about a little bit about that before, haven't we, in passing? Right, in the middle of the Depression, or towards the end of the Depression. Just an extra piece of bad luck, really. The climate conditions caused a few terrible harvests and giant dust storms. The last thing America needed after years of depression, 5 odd years of depression. Terrible. Okay, on this day in 1995, more than 170 countries agreed to extend the nuclear non-proliferation treaty indefinitely and without conditions to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons. Yeah, not a bad thing, surely. The doctrine of MAD, mutually assured destruction, is a bit mad. Some say it's prevented many conventional wars since then. And they may well not be wrong. Well, they're not wrong. It's good. Mad is good and bad, isn't it? You can make the argument both ways. But nonetheless, most countries agreed to not even ever really start a nuclear program. It's insanely expensive anyway. You need loads and loads and loads of raw materials, all of your own, because the big players probably won't let you do it, won't sell you what you need. So you need to be a massive country to begin with, probably, and very, very rich. So the vast majority of countries can't really dream of it anyway. Okay, I'm interested in the history of nuclear weapons and the attempt to ban them. Okay. On this day in the year 2000, India's population officially reaches 1 billion. Great. All right. Shall we have a look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats? It's nearly the top of the hour. Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen where my Rumble Rants are. All right. We've got two. Who's in at number one? Come on. Reigning, defending, and still the king of Bosho Rumble Rants, Global Church History. You've got to get up quite literally early in the morning to beat this guy. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You got to respect the grind. Global Church History says, on this day in 973 AD, King St. Edgar the Peaceful and Queen Elfgifu, you've written it, Ethelrith, celebrate the first recorded English coronation. Okay. What do you reckon the chances are that on my history show, Bodade's Epochs, my own history show behind the paywall on lotusetus.com, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership, over 260 episodes, i.e. hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of me talking about history. What do you reckon I've talked all about the Anglo-Saxon world? Loads. For hours and hours and hours. You reckon it's there? Behind the paywall? You bet your sweet ass it's there. Yeah. So Edgar, St. Edgar the Peaceful. What was he? God, got you off the top of my head now. He's the father of Ethelred the Unready, isn't he? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's right. I'm sure that's right. So we're in like almost the twilight of the Anglo-Saxon period now. I mean, it's got another 90 odd years. It's towards the end of the Anglo-Saxon period. The Viking invasions started 200 years before that, right? Like the first raid on Lindisfarne is in the 790s, isn't it? But I think Edgar the Peaceful's reign was peaceful because there were no Viking raids or very few Viking raids during that 20-odd years, 20-30 years. So that's why his reign's peaceful. But they came back. It was only sort of a lull. Well, in the end, you've got like the St. Brice's Day Massacre, what, 1003. And then Sven Forkbeard comes over, conquers England. A Viking conquers England in like 1013. Then you've got Canute, King Canute, a Viking. The King of Norway is now the King of England. Get rid of him eventually. Get Anglo-Saxons back, Ethelred the Unready and stuff. Well, anyway, in the end, St. Edward the Confessor finally dies. Harold Godwinson tries to take over, and then you've got the Norman invasion. That's the end of the Anglo-Saxon world. So you might argue that the reign of Edgar the Peaceful and his queen Elfgifu, or Ethelrith, as you've put there, classic Anglo-Saxon name, might be one of the last sort of quiet periods, relatively quiet period, of Anglo-Saxon rule throughout, what, the 960s, 970s, 980s. All right. And the other thing you've said there is, and in 1502, Christopher Columbus embarked on his fourth and final voyage. Yeah, there you go. You said, yeah. I often like to mention that if ever Christopher Columbus comes up, just to mention he did it more than once. As soon as he did it, pretty much as soon as he crossed the ocean blue, people just realised, oh, it totally can be done. As long as you've got enough water and biscuit and enough balls, you can just do that. So people started doing it loads. He himself did it four times. Okay, all right. Interesting. The only other Rumble Rant we've got this morning is from Fortean Barber. Thank you, sir. He's a super fan. Appreciate it. Thank you. Morning, sir. You all right? I'm all right. Cheers. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a good weekend. Have you read The Prince by Machiavelli? Yeah. Yeah. Got content on it. In conversation with one Mr. Carl Benjamin, got a long-form bit of content on it. Read it more than once. Listened to it on audiobook more than once. It's a must. You say, have I read it? If so, any good? I doubt that Starmer will quit, but I imagine some Labour MPs will join Reform and make the government smaller. So, is it any good? Yes, it's fascinating, if that's your sort of thing. I mean, it is 15th century Italian a 15th century Italian thing. It's like dedicated to the Medici. But if you're interested in sort of, well, politics, the grand view of politics and power, then yeah, it's not the easiest thing to get into. It's not as simple as reading a Dan Brown novel. You've got to get your ear in. You've got to get used to it. And he references loads of things that he doesn't explain. So if you're not familiar with 15th century Italian politics, you might have to stop a fair bit and read up. Who's that? You know, what's that a reference to? What does he mean when he's saying that? There's a bit of that to it. But perhaps if you get one where there's loads of footnotes and it will tell you what he's talking about. Definitely worth a read. Definitely worth a read, I would say. Some of the things he says are timeless. Absolutely timeless. Like, don't allow yourself to be invaded by foreign people. Don't try and create a mercenary army of foreigners. Loads of things. Keep your eye on the prize. Power's all important. Loads of things that absolutely ring true to this day and almost certainly always will. Whilst the human condition, whilst humans are the way they are, will remain true. Is it good? Yes, it's good. It's worth a read. Okay, you say, I doubt that Starmer will quit. Yeah, me too. But I imagine some Labour MPs will join Reform and make the government smaller. Labour MPs joining Reform? One or two, maybe. The staunch Starmerites in cabinet won't be doing that, will they? But maybe a few. Maybe a few. I think there's been talk of Labour MPs properly crossing the aisle. And some other councillors. I think there's been Labour councillors that have defected to Reform, haven't there? But we'll see. We'll see if Reform will accept them. Probably would, wouldn't they? I wouldn't. I wouldn't dream of it. Okay. Nigel's a funny one, isn't he? He's a funny one. All right, let's have a look at the YouTube Super Chats. There's a few of these, a dozen or so. Let's whip through them. Luke Stewart says, St. Luke Street. Morning, sir. You say, G'day, Bo. And everyone, long time, no see, hope. G'day, Bo, and everyone. Guess a comma there. Long time, no see. Hope you had been well. Some good news if you don't talk about it. If the One Nation Party won, this is in Australia, isn't it? One Party Nation. One Nation Party won the by-election in Fairer, Australia. That's our Reform Restore Party. Oh, good. Yeah, I know that the One Nation Party is your equivalent of the right-leaning, right-of-centre party. Yeah, oh, so they won a by-election, did they? I didn't see that. Well done. We do have some Aussie news, don't we? I don't use these tabs very much anymore. But we've got Sky News Australia. Has this been refreshed? Oh, anyway. Anyway, good. If that's the case, there was a by-election and the One Nation Party won it. Good, great. Good news. Hopefully shows a direction of travel. All right. Something wickedly, that Shona, superfan Shona, says, King Charlie the Muslim and Starmer the Barnacle. Yeah. Yeah. King Charles III is weirdly Islamophile, isn't he? Oddly. Really, really, really subversive and weird for the King of England, the head of the Church of England, to essentially be overtly and expressively over the top, so pro-Islam. What a freak. What a disgusting, sausage-fingered, half-German, half-Greek freak. And Starmer the Barnacle. Yeah, just won't give up. Stubborn. Clinging on stubbornly. Yeah, good call. Shona again says, Big Bird had a personal photographer. Not sure exactly what you mean. Maybe there's been a few photoshops done or AI images generated where I've called her Big Bird. As far as I'm aware, I was the first one to say that. That's just me. A few people on Twitter last night posted some pictures, atting me in a few pictures where they've put Big Bird legs on her. Get a fridge, put Angela Rayner's face on it and put Big Bird from Sesame Street's legs on it. How's that not funny? There's no way that's not going to be funny to me. Okay. Thomas Tyne says, you know what would be great is if here in the US we could get people to vote for some new party instead of frigging red and blue forever and ever. Yeah, 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 that'd be great, wouldn't it? To break the two-party system in the United States would be great. It's even more difficult there than it is here. It's very, very difficult here, but it's even harder there because they've got it sewn up in all sorts of different ways. Occasionally the Libertarian Party have sort of just about a look in, don't they? You have to get to a certain level before you're even sort of allowed to take part in TV debates and all sorts of things, aren't there? There's sort of quite a high threshold. But that would be great, yeah. When there's a two-party system and it's so sewn up like that, it's almost like a one-party system, isn't it? It's basically a one-party system in all but name, isn't it? You might get a maverick like Donald Trump, but he still has to operate within that paradigm, doesn't he? So I couldn't agree with you more. I would love to see the two-party system broken in the United States. That would be great. They will do everything in their power to prevent that. Shona again says, there's a war in Britain. I mean, not exactly, but I guess I know what you're saying. A slow burn one. There's a war in the Labour Party. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, don't be so quick to rule it out, Bo. I'm not sure what you're going to go on to. What have I ruled out? Don't be so quick to rule it out, Bo. Repurposing Kemi and co to pothole filling would solve two issues at once. Ooh, spicy. That's a spicy tamale. This chap might be onto something. I shan't comment unless the channel gets yeeted. But okay, thanks for the super chat. There's certain things. People say, oh, why are you shying away from that? You're afraid to say this or that. Well, yeah, because if you go too far, you just get strikes and warnings and then yeeted. And then it's nothing, is it, at that point? Then I always find Fed posts are saying, just keep saying more and more and more until you get yeeted and maybe arrested. Well, no. Thanks. No. That's no criticism of you, Mr. Gently Benevolent, by the way. You're a super fan. Wait. When people say, oh, you're scared of saying that. You won't say it. Well, because there's limits. There's T's and C's on YouTube and quite strict speech laws in Britain. Again. No criticism of you, Mr. Gently Benevolent. That's other people that say that. All right, last few here on this morning. We've got Naughty Ewok. Naughty Ewok says, it's okay because the voodoo woman from Pirates of the Caribbean resurrected Barbossa. All right. There's more than one Barbossa, right? In history, literature and entertainment. Okay, thanks for the super chat. Bill Wilson, 1225, says, why did English monarchs drop the descriptions? The descriptions? I don't know what you're talking about there. Sorry, sir. I don't know what you're referring to there. Why did English monarchs drop the descriptions? Harry, do you know what he's getting at there? Do you know what he might be getting at? I'm not quite sure what.
I think it's like the fearless, you know, like at the end.
Oh, I see. Right. Like the bold, the fearless, the lion-hearted, something like that. Okay, I see. If that's what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. It's just naming conventions. It's usually, nearly always, it's historians after the fact give them those names. Usually. Like the unready or the lion-heart or something. Yeah. Quite often, it's not in their own lifetime. It will be historians later that do that. Sometimes I still do. I've called Queen Elizabeth II the absent. Queen Elizabeth the absent. We can still do it if you want. Still call King Charles the Third, or Charles the Third the sausage fingered. Charles the lame. Charles the traitor. Okay, and the last one here this morning. Herman the Tosser, zero Herman the Tosser, says, Bo, did you see Beardy Weirdy Rob when you were in Great Yarmouth? Itty Weedy Rob. I don't know who that is, I'm afraid. He won the best beard competition here in 2024 and 2025. He dyed his beard green. I did not see anyone with a green beard, I must admit. I'm sorry about that. Beardy Weirdy Rob. He won a best beard competition. More than one. Two-time, back-to-back. The two-time. I didn't meet him, I'm afraid. All right, okay. That's the show. It's now 9:10 in the AM. My finger seems to have stopped bleeding. On Monday, the 11th of May, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for watching. Without you, it isn't a thing. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Try and make the best of the day ahead. And I say it every day, but I'm going to keep doing it. Because it's really, really important. The most valuable thing you have by far is your time. If you can use it as you see fit today, try and do something valuable with it. You will never have this day again. You've got a finite number of days on this earth. Try and make it count. All right, without being too preachy, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.